Well, good morning again. Everybody good? Having a good week? Excellent, excellent. Glad that you're here this morning. If you are visiting with Wylie United Methodist Church this morning, really glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We invite you to fill that out and leave it there in the seat when you leave today. You do not It's not a requirement, but we really love to know that you were here. You can put an email address down there if you'd like to be added to our email list and check the box that that tells us that. Just glad that you're here. So if you would, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. While you're turning there, let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We rejoice with the angels in heaven for Dalton's baptism today. Father, we ask that you would speak to us. And as Teresa talked about, that your living water would make our hearts soft. You would teach us and you would speak in power and authority and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, continuing the sermon series this morning of one. Sermon series one. We got a slide, Alan? Maybe not. There we go. The sermon series one. Today, one people. Today, one people. Now, so again, turn with me to John 17, verse 20. Wouldn't it be awesome if we knew the heart of Jesus for us? Would that be awesome if, you know, do you have goals and wishes and a heart for your children, for people you care about? Do you want things for them? Jesus wants things for us. In John 17, we're going to find out what it is. Now, Jesus is praying. He's preparing to go to the cross. And he's prayed for his disciples. He's prayed for the world. And we pick it up in verse 20. And when he says, for them alone, he's talking about the disciples. My prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who's he talking about? Us. You and I. That all of them, in other words, that we may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let's pray. We've already prayed. We're not going to pray again. I'm sorry, I switched things up a little bit today, so I'm on autopilot. Y'all can pray if you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the sermon. Would that be all right? Man, I tell you what, please pray for me. Start right now and pray hard. That teaches me a lesson. Don't change anything. Just keep it flowing. So this idea that God has a heart for us, church. And his heart is, we're gonna dig in a little bit deeper today. Scripture tells us that oneness, I'm not even sure that's a word, but my spell check didn't kick it out. Oneness, or unity, is Jesus' heart for his people. Now, he says, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message that all of them may be one. So it was important enough. You know, I don't know if you've ever been with someone when they were coming to the end of their life. They've had an opportunity to tell you things, you say things to them, they say things to you, and they, I mean, those are sacred moments, aren't they? There's sacred moments when you get to say what you need to say. Jesus is coming to the end of his life, and his prayer is for us. He had us on his mind as he's coming towards the end of his life. I pray that we would be one, that they would be one. Oneness, or unity, is Jesus' heart for his people. Scripture tells us also, second thing, that oneness, or unity, comes only through unified purpose. Unified purpose. In Ephesians, we read the passage, I think it's listed there in your handout, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit so that the body of Christ may be built up. There's a purpose in that unity, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I want us to talk a second about that word unity or oneness. Johnny, I don't know if you remember this, but when I was a sophomore in Abilene High School, we got a new football coach at Abilene High. His name was DeWitt Jones. Coach, you knew DeWitt. And he was ended up being at Abilene High for 1 year. But I don't know why that was, 10 or 15 years ago. Okay, maybe it's longer than that. 1976, I was a sophomore, and I remember sitting in the room, and Coach Jones came in and to all the players, and he gave us his, kind of his welcome speech. And I remember specifically, he was fired up. He was fired up, and he started talking about what he'd like to do. And I know this is probably not very, very godly, but, what he'd like to do to the coach from Cooper. Some of y'all from Cooper are going, man, you can't believe he said that. But, he's talking about, before the game, he said, when Abilene High plays Cooper, I'd like to meet the Cooper coach at the 50-yard line and let he and I just settle it right out there. And, he was fired up. And so I tell you that, and I don't know why. That stuck with me. I thought, man, this guy's serious. This guy's serious about this. And the reason I tell you that story is that, did you know that the Abilene High Eagles and the Cooper Cougars had a different purpose. They couldn't, there could not be unity. You could be nice to each other, you could be civil to one another, but they had a whole different purpose than we did. They wanted to beat us and we wanted to beat them. So what I'm trying to get at today is that unity for the body of Christ is centered on, we preached on this a couple of weeks ago, centered on Jesus the Christ. And if anything else, we can't be unified with anyone outside of that unity, outside of that vision for the church. Am I making sense? I feel like I'm kind of rambling a little bit about that, but we can't be unified with the world because the world isn't in Christ. We can't be unified with other faiths. This is totally contrary to what our culture will tell us. We can't be unified, we can't be one with other faiths because our faith is centered on Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, we can be nice and considerate and loving and all of those things to people outside of Christ, but we can't have unity outside of people outside of Christ. So I want to move into the third point there. Scripture tells us this word tolerance. You'll hear that in our culture, that we should be a tolerant people. Tolerance is different than unity. Okay, by definition, tolerance is the, and I kind of looked this up and kind of put together a description of this. Tolerance, indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with our own. So to be tolerant says, I know you believe something else besides what I believe, and you have the right to believe that. It doesn't mean to embrace all of those other beliefs. Are we hearing me? Our world is teaching us, our culture is teaching us, no, to be tolerant, you have to embrace everybody else, no matter what they believe. You have to embrace, because that's being tolerant. No, tolerant is saying, I disagree with you, but you have the right to believe what you want to believe. But we can't be unified with those outside the faith of Christ. Now, I want to illustrate this by contrast, and this is not a mean-spirited comment at all, but I want to illustrate it by talking about two different organizations in our community. One organization that I'm a part of that y'all have heard me talk about, and the Pray for America, the Pray for Rainsides came out of the One Kingdom group that I'm part of, and it's Christian pastors and civic leaders in our city we come together from different denominations and different backgrounds and different roles in our city, but we come together in the name of Christ, One Kingdom. There's another organization called the Interfaith Council. The Interfaith Council, and that is where you've got people of representing all these different faiths that come together. And I was reading a little bit on the internet about the Interfaith Council, even though I knew a lot about it. I wanted to kind of see what, you know, their website and all that kind of stuff. And it's basically coming together and worshiping together, praying together. One of the deals was talking about breaking bread together. I'm really not sure that sounds like just, you know, fellowship meal to me, like kind of like eating together. But, when we break bread at the table, the communion table, that is the Lord's Supper. So I can't share that with someone that doesn't have the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I mean, our culture would call that harsh, but it's like, I can't share that meal with someone that has not received Christ. It's not because I'm a mean person or we as Christians are mean people. It's just like that is for people that profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. So the Interfaith Council is totally, it may have the appearance of being very similar to One Kingdom. It's not. It's totally different because I can be respectful of people of other faiths, but I can't worship with them. Does that make sense? I can't embrace what they believe and what their practices because it's contrary to the very heart of who I am as a Christian. Christ is Lord for me. And I can't share that with people outside of that belief. So I don't know if that's making sense to you at all, but tolerance, this word tolerance, I get crazy sometimes that is thrown around in our culture. What secular people would want us to do is be tolerant of everything about their beliefs, but they don't want to be tolerant about our beliefs. They like that word tolerance until we get to the point where we say, well, I mean, you have to tolerate me too. I believe in prayer. I believe in Jesus and no, we're not going to be tolerant of that. You have to be tolerant of me. So that word tolerance is thrown around a lot, but I want you to understand as Christians, what God is calling us to do as being one people is different. Unity is different than tolerance. Okay, fourth thing. Scripture tells us that we are unified. What unifies us, we are unified at the cross through Christ. Now listen to this passage in Galatians. You are all sons of God and sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are adopted into His family. We are Christians through faith in Christ. I mean, that is what binds us together. That's what makes us one people is faith in Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Don't you love that passage? I want you to picture yourself clothed in the love of Christ. I mean, like just this robe of God's love, He just wraps it around us through Christ. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male. Now remember, we're talking about in Christ, through faith in Christ, then at that point there's not Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So it's Christ Jesus that unifies us. It's the faith that we have in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what's he speaking of there? Paul in Galatia, he is speaking of the Old Testament where God made covenant with Abraham and said, I will be your God and you will be my people. He adopted them into his family. And it says through Christ, through faith in Christ, we are heirs to that promise. We have been adopted in. We have been grafted into that promise. And that is what unifies us. I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying today. It's so difficult because our world sends out so many different messages. Finally, Scripture tells us that unity through Christ pleases God and blesses us. Listen to this passage in Psalm 133. Great passage in Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers, and I'm going to add in there sisters, when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Not just any old unity. Remember what I was talking about with the Abilene High coach and what he was, I mean, I promise you, the people in that locker room that day, we were not unified with the team across town. I mean, we each had a goal to defeat the other. There was distinct differences between the two. But how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, that unity found in Christ. For there, in that unity, the Lord bestows, another translation there says, commands his blessing. So it's in unity in Christ that that when we live together, that pleases God. He bestows or he commands blessing on us. It pleases God and it blesses us. I want y'all, if you've been here a while, you know the story of how we kind of came together with St. John's Baptist Church. But it's one of my favorite stories. And I just visited with Pastor Hood a week or so ago. And I've told y'all in the past that we actually we help support that ministry, their church, St. John's Baptist Church. We actually help support that their feeding ministry and some other things. And that all started, I don't know, I think it was around 2007, so about 9 years ago or so. That started with a visit. Mark Hewitt, a friend of mine from Love and Care Ministries, hooked me up with Pastor Hood, and I can remember standing under this old, scraggly old mesquite tree over there on Carver Street, and I remember us meeting Pastor Hood and our hearts sinking up, and we prayed together that God would bless our relationship, I remember just the stirring of the Holy Spirit as we sat under that mesquite tree and prayed. God, that pleases God. That pleases God. You know, there's so many things that I don't have in common with Pastor Hood. He's a black man. I'm a white man. He lives on the north side. I live on the south side. He's a Baptist pastor. I'm a Methodist pastor. There's so many things. But I'll tell you, our hearts were immediately unified through Christ. Christ unifies us. That pleases God, and he blesses us. And I can't tell you, I mean, I could go on and on, the blessings that have come out of that relationship between our two churches. We need to do it again, but I remember one time we had a picnic. How many of you were there when we went and had a picnic over in the Carver neighborhood? I mean, we brought our bounce house over there, and it was just to see the different churches and the different neighborhoods, the kids playing together on that bounce house, and we were cooking burgers and sitting around in lawn chairs, just visiting with each other and getting to know each other personally. That pleases God, and it blesses us. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows blessing. Nowhere else in Scripture do we read where God actually commands, in this environment, in this circumstance, I will command blessing, except for unity. That's the only place in God's Word where God says, I will command blessing in unity. But that unity must come through Christ. So if you'd bow your heads with me. Father, we get confused sometimes, Lord, what this, all these words, unity and tolerance and all of these things are thrown around, but Father, but let us be unified at the cross. It's level ground at the cross. There isn't rich or poor or black or white or male or female. There's none of those things at the cross. We're all on equal footing. Let us be unified through you, Jesus. Let us well up a passion for you inside of us, Jesus. We thank you that it is good and pleasant to you when we live in unity. Help us to understand that. Help us to be more like you in that. Father, you created us for covenant. You created us for relationship. And that relationship begins with you, and you want it to be lived out in our relationships with one another as well. God, teach us how. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Our praise team will come up this morning. As we close this morning, I just invite you, the altar rail is open. If you want to come, and I will pray with you. If you want to talk to me about anything about our church or about having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I will be up front. Let's stand as we close.
In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above. In need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me. In need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in need. In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy down from high above. In need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me. In need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child, I am in need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great
Jesus said that his prayer for us was that we would be one, and he had a purpose in that. He goes on to say that so that the world will know that you've sent me. So our unity with one another, our unity in Christ, proves to the world who Jesus is. Do we get that? Shake your head if we get that. So go, we have Christ, take him with you. Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. We are dismissed. God bless you.
In need of grace, in need of love, in need I am.